Evening, Rabbi Isai. It's a special simcha to be back here, being able to talk to the Olam again. Baruch Hashem, we went for a simcha and Bli Ayin Hara. It was a simcha that was a very interesting, unique simcha in many different ways, and Baruch Hashem, it passed by b'shutoy v'mitzlachas, and our mispalel that I mentioned, the zivik should be oyle yofa. We should, in the future, each and every one of us should be able to participate in each other's simchas in person. And I know the Olam was there in heart, in machshuva, in the Meretz Hashem. In the future, we'll be able to be there at the pile in person. I'd like to discuss an inyan which is on many people's minds and is a topic of discussion these days. And we're hearing back and forth, what are the regulations? Will there be allowed to be camps? No camps, schools opening, not opening, overnight camp, day camps. And there's something which we have to remind ourselves, and it's a very important yesod in our everyday lives, as yidim aminim b'nei aminim. And it's a lesson which we can learn out from this week's parsha. We find that in the parsha we're very marach on the exact amount of travels Klal Yisrael went through, 42, and the Torah tells us exactly how they would encamp, how they would get up. And there's a long arichis, and it's interesting that the Torah goes to such lengths in being marich about this lekuda, this yisoid. And the Rishonim discussed this, why the arichis here in Parashas Baloischa about all the places Klal Yisrael camped. What's the nafkamina? And the Ramban, the Archaim HaKudish discuss this question. Now, Chaim HaKudosh answers that the Torah is teaching us a big yisoid in Klal Yisrael's emuna and Eibishter, that even though sometimes they just arrived in a certain place and they just unpacked, just got a little bit settled, and right away the Anana Kovit started to move and they'd have to get up. And sometimes they were in a certain encampment for a long time and they really wanted to move on already. And since the Anana Kovid weren't moving, they stayed put. And this happened actually 42 times, and which is a huge amount of turmoil, constant change. I remember hearing once a person went to Nudum Gudul saying that he's a little bit nervous. He knows this life is not, life in this world is not supposed to be too easy, and for him it seems like everything's going his right way. Everything is going very well, and he's nervous. Like, what's in store for him? What should he? Is something really big going to be happening soon? And the Udam Gudul answered back to this person, asked him, "Did you ever move? Did you ever have to pack up and move and have the whole stress and balagan of changing diras, moving to a new house?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "If so, you don't have to worry. You've gone through some type of yisurim in your life, some type of uncertainty. So imagine having to do this 42 times. But Klal Yisrael did it, and they did it with the geshmak." And that's what the Torah HaKadosh is trying to bring out and emphasize, that Klal Yisrael was up to the challenge. As I am for the Rechaim HaKudosh, as Lefiza is a great sakasha, we find also in this week's parasha something which would seem just the opposite of Maminim B'nai Maminim. And that's the Klal Yisrael complaining constantly about that they're not happy with, they don't have water, they don't have the meat, they don't have the onions, the melons, etc. Things which would seem to be pretty trivial, and the opposite of what we just mentioned about putting your trust in the Eibishter. So how does this part of the parasha coincide with the other part? The Chor, it seems like Stiris. I saw in the Sefer Beshvila, Parsha brings down from the Sefer Yaman Derech, beautiful teretz, And he says there is a basic difference between the Nesayin of the Masois and the Nesayin of the Avetichim and the Dogim. When it came to the Masois, it was very clear that there was the Yad Hashem was leading Klal Yisrael, that everything was up to the Eibishter, because you saw it, it was black and white. When the Anan and Kovid were on top of the Machne, Klal Yisrael knew it was time to stay. And when it started to move, they knew it was time to go. So it was very clear that there was directives coming directly from the Rabbeinu Shleilim. And therefore, Klal Yisrael was able to put their full trust. However, when it came to other things, the in-between, while they were attacking camped, where they didn't see the direct Yad Hashem, that's when they were attacking challenged. And when a person isn't able to see all the time how the Eibishter is directly, we know he is, but we're not able to see it. And when we're not able to directly see it, that's when we have the Nisoyan. And that's a lot more challenging one. And that's something Klal Yisrael struggled with in those days. But we have to understand and be mechazik ourselves that even when we don't see the Yad Hashem, everything's really in the Eibishter's full control. Whatever happens to us, no matter who calls, who brings it upon us, at the end of the day, it's all coming from the Eibishter. And the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Shem Oilam brings out from the pasuk of Ki Yiruven Anoshim V'Hika Ish Esreayu Rak Shifta Yitoin V'Rapa Yirapa. And we learn out from this the doctor has the ability to cure and to help out and to try to heal sick people. What's the chiddush in this? And he answers that you might think that since everything comes from the Rebbeinu Shloim, so if the Eibishter costs with his cheshbonus that we can't understand cause someone to get sick, we have no right and we're not allowed to try to heal that. It came directly from the Eibishter. So in that, the Pusik tells us, no, you are allowed to go to a doctor, you're allowed to do the basic Hishtadlis. Points out the Chofetz Chaim further that there's another Nukidah over here, and that is that, how does the Pusik start off? The Pusik starts off by saying, Ki Ruven Anushim V'Hike Ish Esreyu. People are fighting with each other. So it's something which was a damage, a sickness which was caused by a physical person, not something that happens relatively by itself, but someone got into a fight with someone else and he was hurt by it. See, even then, you would think that you're not allowed to go to a doctor because that patch, that zetz, ultimately was coming from the Rebbeinu Shloim, and therefore you would be allowed to go heal it. And that the Pusik is teaching us, even something that is caused by a physical person, a person understands, really comes from the Rebbeinu Shloim, we're teaching you a big chiddush that you are allowed to go to the doctor to heal it, even in such a scenario. So we see a tremendous limud that whether something is called coming upon us, coming from another person, coming from somewhere else, we all know as maminim b'nei maminim, it's really coming from the Rebbeinu Shloim. And we have to remind ourselves constantly that this is the case. Therefore, when there's all this talk about what this elected official is going to do, what that elected official is going to do, and that, according to that, we're going to be able to do this, we're going to be able to do that, we have to remind ourselves it's not really that elected official. It's not that medical professional. It's all coming batsim from the Rebbeinu Shloim. And obviously, they're all shlichim, they're all messengers. And we have to remind ourselves that at the end of the day, Eibishter is the one that we really have to point our tefillahs to, direct our tefillahs to, and that's really the hakol yochol of everything that's happening to us. So next time a question's asked, will there be day camps? Won't there be overnight camps? The answer is not what this elected official is going to say with that one. The answer is what it's going to be what the Rebbeinu Shloim decides. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shloim wants, that's what's going to happen. And that's what's going to be. So the Eibishter zol helfen through our reminding ourselves that we're tuli in the Eibishter, we should take bizoicha, like the Svarim HaKadoshim say, when we're mechazik in these inyunim, it's a tremendous schis. We should be zoicha to yeshias and efias. Baruch Hashem, the shul's been open for the last few weeks and in more of a limited form. And Bli Ayin Hara, things have been running relatively smoothly. Baruch Hashem, we're not hearing about any serious cases happening, anything out of the ordinary. And according to that, Mirtz Hashem, this coming week, we hope to be, let's call it, going to the next phase of trying to be get back to the normal minyanim seder. And I would like to just be mechazik. Obviously, there's some people that it's probably the right thing for them to be staying home, but there are other people that have to make an honest cheshbon nefesh. Have they gotten used to a certain b'di'evedik matziv, which now might be time to already start thinking about changing it. And a person has to be very, very honest with themselves, what their cheshbonis are. And every person has a lot of different cheshbonis, and they have to think it out very thoroughly. Is there not coming to shul? What is the reason behind it? And like I said before, for many people, it's the right thing still not to be coming to shul on Adarab. It's a mitzvah for them not to come to shul. However, there are many people out there that probably by now it would be the right time to start making a cheshbon. Should I start be coming back to shul? And is that the right thing for me to be doing? So if we'd like to end off as we're talking now, there's a simcha going on in the shul. Meir Weiss's chasen is happening now. Many of us would be there now, including myself, under normal circumstances. But we're being mishtatev, b'leiv u'b'nefesh. Our machshav is there. The mitzvah shemayu shvizoichet to build a bais neman b'yisrul. Should stel of yiddish eshtib, alechtig eshtib, and be a source of naches for your mishpuchim, for ganz klal yisrul, and you should be zoichet to lots and lots of simcha, naches, and brucha in your entire life. Kol tiv, and everyone have a good Shabbos.